Another Wednesday edition, Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery and Underdog. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Josh DiMaggio here as well. Producer Groundhog, producer Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn is back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. A lot of discussion this week, for obvious reasons, around the Green Bay Packers quarterback situation. And I'm a little bit irritated by the negativity. I'm a little bit irritated by the way in which we are talking about who will likely start for the Packers on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts in the home opener, and that is Malik Willis. And when it comes to Malik Willis, I understand why one would be negative. I understand why one would be frustrated. I understand why one would be nervous about what he's capable of and going to do here, at least we assume the next couple of weeks for the Green Bay Packers, as they don't only lose on Friday, that was to the Philadelphia Eagles, they also lose their quarterback, at least for the foreseeable future. Now, something I'm fascinated by, and I want to start here before we get to the Malik Willis optimism hour, is how Matt LaFleur approached this situation the other day. Matt LaFleur meeting with the media in Green Bay on Monday, after the team flies home from Brazil and Jordan Love is officially diagnosed with an MCL sprain, here's what the head coach had to say about this week's game against the Indianapolis Colts and the quarterback situation the Packers are facing.
Yeah, if Jordan's not cleared, then we'll start Malik and Sean will be the backup.
What's the possibility of Jordan actually being ready for...
I couldn't give you a percentage, but if he gets cleared, we'll give him every opportunity like we always will. And, you know, I know he's doing everything in his power. I know he's spending a lot of time trying to get back as soon as possible, but certainly we're not going to put him in a position where if he can't protect himself that he'd go out there.
If Jordan's not cleared, Malik Willis will be the starter. We will give him every opportunity. I'm no doctor. I'm no medical professional. But I will tell you this. Jordan Love ain't walking through that door on Sunday at Lambeau Field. He might walk through the door. He's not putting on shoulder pads after he walks through that door at Lambeau Field on Sunday. It's going to be the Malik Willis show, and it will be the Malik Willis show, I would guess, for at least 2 or 3 weeks. At least 2 or 3 weeks. For the Packers, as they try to right this ship, I said it on Monday, and it still feels the same way, no matter how much I sleep on it. The fact that the Packers lost sucks. The Packers losing their quarterback sucks extra. But to go 0-1 and to have to start your backup quarterback sucks. No matter what team you are, no matter who your backup is, no matter the situation and the expectations of your football team. If you lose the first game you play and you lose your quarterback, it sucks. But I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, Malik Willis sucks. That's not what we're doing today. We're going to do the Malik Willis Optimism Hour. And I imagine Josh DiMaggio will try to derail the optimism every chance he gets. And I imagine Hunter Vaughn, producer Tiny Hands, might try to derail the optimism every chance he gets. But I'm not letting anybody derail the optimism today, because we're doing the Malik Willis Optimism Hour on Mr. Irrelevant. Joshy, you on board? You good with the Optimism Hour for the backup quarterback, Malik Willis?
Question.
Yeah, go ahead.
In his three starts, how many times has Malik Willis surpassed 100 yards passing?
I don't know the answer to that.
It would be zero.
I know it's zero touchdowns. Why'd you say it like that? I know it's zero touchdowns to three interceptions.
Yeah.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I just wanted to really enunciate the fact that it's about as bad as we have ever seen.
So, hold on. Say it one more time.
What?
It would be zero.
It would be zero.
How do you sound like that?
That's just weird.
Just really needed to hammer home the fact that zero times. Zero.
Yeah. None,
zippo.
I'm not. Nanya. But Joshy, it's not like today during the Malik Willis. Nanya. The Malik Willis Optimism Hour. I'm not sitting here saying, hey, Malik Willis is going to make this a real quarterback controversy. Right? I'm not saying Malik Willis is going to win comeback player of the year given these couple of starts. But can Malik Willis be sufficient enough? Can he be good enough? Which might not even have to be that good, to win football games the next couple of weeks? Yeah, he can. Look, I think we need to take a look at what makes Malik Willis an NFL prospect, right? Like, what made him an attractive option in the second round a couple of years ago for the Tennessee Titans? And I understand. He had a coaching change. He had a GM change. Will Levis won the job. They signed Mason Rudolph in the offseason, who was a starting NFL quarterback a year ago. And ultimately, Malik Willis wound up as the third quarterback. So the Packers trade a seventh-round pick for him. There are two key cogs when it comes to the quarterback position in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur is, of course, one of them, the head coach and play caller. And Tom Clements, the quarterback coach, is the other. Those two guys know how to elevate quarterbacks, and they know how to elevate offenses. So the good news is the Packers have 9 days to prepare, had 9 days. Now they're down to, however it is, 4 days. They've had 9 days to prepare for Malik Willis being the starting quarterback against the Indianapolis Colts. Malik Willis was an attractive draft pick because of the mobility. He has a strong arm, but he has the mobility factor, and he's really good off script, or at least he was collegiately. In the NFL, not so much. If there is a single offense in the NFL that a young quarterback can step into with good weapons around him, a good running back, good wide receivers, a good O-line, and a really good play caller, I don't know that there's more of an attractive situation than Green Bay. San Francisco's, of course, one, but that's a similar offense. And a dude that Matt LaFleur came up coaching with in Kyle Shanahan. This isn't an attractive opportunity for any young quarterback in the NFL to plug in and say, hey, there's probably worse situations to walk into on 2.5 weeks' notice to get the playbook and everything. Today is the 2-week anniversary of Malik Willis being traded to Green Bay. So you'll have about 2.5 weeks to really comprehend everything that he will walk into, which I would imagine it will be a much smaller playbook than the Packers are used to jotting out. But I think he has the opportunity to look sufficient enough to get a win on Sunday and a couple of wins over the course of the next few weeks, Hunter.
Yeah, and like I think people need to, we talk a lot about the expectations for Jordan Love since he got the contract. The expectations for Malik Willis are however long you're the starter, you need to go 500. Like, just figure out a way to go 500. Whatever that, however you get it done. Because if he can go 500, he goes 2-2 over 4 weeks, and then Jordan Love is back. The Packers are in a fine spot. They're still in the race for the division. Things are still going okay. Like, you can make that up. But if he loses every game, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, like, you're going to have to win out level stuff to try and get a home playoff game.
Here's the issue, Hunter. If Malik Willis, let's say he loses each of the next two games, right? So that means the Packers start 0-3, and Malik Willis is the starting quarterback against Indianapolis and his former team, the Tennessee Titans, next week. You're probably calling for Sean Clifford at that point, right?
I mean, probably, but then, like, I don't think you're in any better of a position then. Like, if Malik Willis is going to go out there and he loses the two games, like, Sean Clifford's probably doing the same exact thing in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you've seen what you've seen out of him already in the preseason, so I don't think that really changes anything. So at that point, you're just kind of, we just got to ride this out until Jordan Love comes back, or you make the call to Ryan Tannehill. But again,
he won't.
Yeah, but like, I'm just saying, like, those are your options. Like, I would rather go Ryan Tannehill on a short week than Sean Clifford at this point. Like, there's a reason why Malik Willis, who was a bust of a draft pick, beat him out, and they're going to give him the ball in 20 days.
It's the optimism hour.
I'm being optimistic about Malik Willis. Like that, but it tells you everything you need to know about Sean Clifford as a backup quarterback.
If Sean Clifford is a bust of a draft pick, what is Malik Willis?
I'm saying Malik Willis is a bust of a draft pick.
That's what I'm saying.
It's double D's.
What?
But you just the biggest bust ever.
Who?
Malik Willis.
No.
Oh, that's not fair. Manziel, Jamarcus Brandon Russell. Whedon, Jamarcus Russell.
We were making a joke here, but he hasn't worked at all. You have to stop calling it the optimism hour. There is no optimism to be drawn here. It is blind faith and hope.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Blind faith and hope.
Joshy, shut up. Hunter, shut up. Put the screen back to just me. Well, because clearly, hold on, no, put the screen back to
Cooper
just
Rush was able to win games
Cooper
as a backup.
Like, I don't want to hear about
you can win
Rush.
Games as a backup. I'm hopeful that he does it for
you. You
called
him a bust. We're doing the optimism hour. We're doing the optimism hour, and you two are not being optimistic. Poll right now on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channel. Are you optimistic about Malik Willis? We will take a look at those results a bit coming up. Look, I'm trying to be optimistic. That's why I wanted to call it the Malik Willis Optimism Hour. Because no bleep, we can be negative about it. He hasn't worked out so far. I get that. But he has mobility. He has a good offensive play caller behind him. He's got a really, really solid offense filled with a lot of sexy skill position players. And he's got a quarterback whisperer, as Ryan points out in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. So, yeah, we could take a little bit of optimism. It's not like the Packers' offense looked horrible. Jordan Love didn't play his best game by any means. He only completed 50% of his passes against Philadelphia on Friday. So, no, he didn't play his best game, but the Packers still put up points. Jaden Reed looks like an absolute menace. Josh Jacobs took a minute to get going, and most of his yardage was on big runs. But Josh Jacobs is an all-pro level back. So, yeah, are you going to stack the box and make Malik Willis throw it? Probably. But he's still an NFL quarterback with six or seven really good pass-catching options on the offense. If Malik Willis puts up three touchdowns a game, the Packers should win most of those games. As long as their defense doesn't look completely incapable, which I don't think it did for the most part on Friday. It didn't look great. The run defense is still a concerning issue as Saquon Barkley just goes bananas for Philly in the opener. But Willis has the opportunity to not only win a few games as the Green Bay Packers backup and solidify his position as a long-term backup, but to solidify himself a long-term spot in the NFL, whether that's as a backup or otherwise. The early returns on Malik Willis are not good. I understand that. But a change of scenery is good for players, typically, in professional sports. This could be that case. He's walking into a much more stable situation in Green Bay than he ever had in Tennessee. Multiple head coaches, multiple GMs, a rotating cast of characters at the skill positions around him. Malik Willis didn't have a lot to work with in Tennessee. He's walking into a position where you have the best up-and-coming offense in all of the NFL. Let me say that again. Malik Willis is walking into a situation with the best up-and-coming offense in the NFL. And by the way, one of the best play callers in the NFL. So yeah, it's the optimism hour. So Hunter, shut up. Joshy, shut up. Optimism only. This hour of Mr. Irrelevant. Got to tell you about my friends at Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits. Made locally in beautiful Door County, whether it's gin, whether it's brandy, whether it's vodka, or my favorite, it's football season. That means it's whiskey season. 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey from Door County Distillery is delicious. The rye whiskey is delicious. My personal favorite, the bourbon. Had a splash on Sunday while I was watching a little football. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. Unique cocktail recipes and the retailer nearest you. Again, DoorCountyDistillery.com. We step aside for 6 and we come back. Matt LaFleur has a lot to gain over the course of the next few weeks. We'll dive into that. We'll talk to kicker position. I've got emotions around Aaron Rodgers. We're going to have one word for all 32 NFL teams after week one. That's all still ahead. It's Mr. Irrelevant. We're back in 60. I'm Alex Stroff.
Where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to Sugar River Pizza, the legendary in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Let's go to the bar. Let's see what they've got. We're here in the beautiful bar at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. My guy Kyle just mixed me up a cherry brandy old fashioned with the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. It's delicious. I tell you it all the time. It's proven it right here. The best.
I'll tell you what, Kyle can make a cocktail.
All right, power ranking. Top three drinks to have from Door County Distillery. We're going 3-1. Number three, it's a split decision, but they're both on the rocks. Either the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey or my personal favorite, the bourbon, right on the rocks. Nice Sunday night, end the weekend. I love it. That's number three. Number two, the Cherry Cosmo with that green bottle of gin. That thing tastes like summer. It's unbelievable. It's delicious. You got to try it. Check out the recipe. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Number one, it's in my left hand right now.
with the cherry brandy, made with local Door County cherries, the cherry brandy old fashioned. That's my list, but there's no wrong answers. You got to find out for yourself. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Let me know what you think in the comments below. 75% of people say, yes, I'm optimistic in Malik Willis. I'm going to try to swing that closer to 90% of you. I'm Malik Willis. I think Ed makes a really good point on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. Malik really hasn't been given much of a chance yet. His performance depends on LaFleur's play calling. He uses athleticism of the receivers to turn a 5-yard pass into a 15-yard pass. That's Chef Ed on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. You can get in on the conversation. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. I've got them both in front of me. Love to hear from you on the Malik Willis optimism hour. Uh-oh. The Groundhog's moving. What is Groundhog's Day? February 2nd? It's like February 2nd up in here. Go ahead, Joshy.
You can say he hasn't been given opportunity. But do you remember when the Pastronaut came in and started a game with 3 days of being a Tennessee Titan over Malik Willis when Ryan Tannehill couldn't play?
I hate that nickname for Josh Dobbs, the Pastronaut.
Uh-huh.
But it, yeah, I do, yes. I do.
This guy's been given opportunity. He's just failed them all. To say he hasn't been given, they drafted him to be the starter.
You're really throwing off the vibe of the show today, Josh.
Here's the thing. I think he can win multiple games as the starter.
So what are we doing? They just lead with that. But say that.
We're all pretending and deluding ourselves and lying to ourselves to think like, yeah, this is probably what's going to happen. This is a likely occurrence. No, it's going to take incredible performance and something we've never seen from Malik Willis.
Strofe, what you and Riley Yauch are doing by trying to believe in Malik Willis like this is exactly what Cowboys fans do to themselves, saying that this is our year. This is our
don't
year
compare me
every
to Cowboys
year.
Fans.
It's exactly the same. You're don't exactly the same.
Don't compare me
you're
to Cowboys
exactly
fans.
The same.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
For somebody who's trying to preach optimism, you got a short fuse today.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. That's Joshy. It's Hunter. I'm Alex Strope with you, Mr. Irrelevant. Look, I think the blind faith that you keep alluding to, both of you, it has more to do with the head coach than it does the quarterback. The blind faith is in Matt LaFleur, and it's not blind. It's real faith. Matt LaFleur is one of the best head coaches in the NFL. He is the third highest winning percentage in the regular season of any active head coach, outside of the two that got their first win as head coaches this past weekend. The guy knows how to win ball games. And of course, he's had great quarterback play to supplement that here through his first, what are we now, year six with Matt LaFleur as the head coach. So, yes, I understand a majority of those years he has had great quarterback play. And Malik Willis certainly has not shown that he's capable of great quarterback play in his few starts in the NFL over the course of the last few years. But we know he's an athlete. We know he's athletic. We know he can sling the rock. Or what's your term, Josh? You sling the pill? Malik Willis is capable of a pill slinger too.
He has a big arm. Where does it land? No one knows. But he can huck it.
In the hands of Jaden Reed or Christian Watson up the sideline. I honestly believe, Joshy, the first play of the preseason game this year and the first play against Chicago last year, you know how they just went through for like a 70-yard bomb?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be Malik Willis on Sunday against Indianapolis. They're just going to go for a bomb right off the rip.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I think it's in the first three plays.
Yeah.
They're probably just going to, just let it huck back and go.
Look, Matt LaFleur has a lot more to gain and prove. I don't want to say prove because I feel like he's proven it. But Matt LaFleur has a lot more to gain than anybody else over the course of the next few weeks. Right? Malik Willis is already kind of a fringe quarterback in this league. That's why the Packers were able to get him for a 7th-round pick. LaFleur won't lose much. I don't think you're going to look at Malik Willis's performance and say, wow, that's on Matt LaFleur if it's really bad. But if Willis can actually orchestrate several touchdown drives and a couple of wins by this offense over the course of, let's say, the next 4 or 5 weeks, I think everybody's going to point at Matt LaFleur and go, hey, that's a heck of a performance for a guy you've only had 2 weeks to work with prior to him becoming your starting quarterback in the time that Jordan Love is out. LaFleur is really creative, right? That's something we've always touted as Packers fans, is his creativity and his ingenuity when it comes to what he designs offensively. And he is really good, and you saw this last week with Jaden Reed, at getting the most out of guys, right? Scheming up plays that will get the most out of guys. Jaden Reed out of the backfield running in for a touchdown. I think the creativity is certainly going to be a factor. Maybe not this weekend, but the next couple of weeks when he has some more time to implement a game plan with Malik Willis as your guy. And Malik Willis has more time to grasp the playbook and the offensive system. But overall, I think LaFleur and Clements are going to put Willis in a position where they can utilize his strengths, right? Get out of the pocket, scramble a little bit more than Love can, obviously, and utilize the guys around you, right? Dontayvion Wicks didn't have a catch in week one. He's their fourth receiver. That's still a really good fourth receiver. When you have guys like Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson and Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft that are capable of elevating a quarterback the way which we think they can, Malik Willis is stepping into a pretty good situation. And that's only elevated by the genius offensively that is the head coach, Matt LaFleur, Hunter.
If, let's hypothetically say, Malik Willis, I'll try and be optimistic with this.
Here we go.
He starts rolling. Maybe they lose against the Colts, but then looks better the next week. And then the next week they get a win. And then he looks really good in that fourth game before Jordan Love comes back. And you're like, oh, like the Packers with Malik Willis could actually win some games. Does this at all affect how you feel about the Jordan Love contract? If like Matt LaFleur is able to make Malik Willis look like a really good NFL quarterback?
Nope. Not one bit. Not one bit. Good question. But no, not one bit. Jordan Love is deserving of that contract. He's a franchise quarterback in the NFL. He got paid the going rate, and it's $5 million a year less than your quarterback, Hunter.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, welcome back, by the way. What'd you say?
It's a bargain.
Bargain indeed.
I have a question about Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the world of him. I think he should have won Coach of the Year last year.
Agreed.
I think he is one of the better offensive play callers that we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
I have a feeling or something, it's in the back of my head, that every time we go, we need the best Matt LaFleur, I feel like we don't get it. And then when we're not expecting it, he puts together a game plan that has the Packers against the Cowboys.
Right.
Where it's like,
that's the game I was going to reference.
Where it's like the stakes were kind of just go out there and we'll see what happens, which feels similar almost to where the Packers are at now. But all the like pressure filled, like this needs to be the Matt LaFleur game he needs to be on. I always feel like it's a letdown. We also see him be the best, one of the best play callers, like all throughout the season. It just doesn't seem like it's always when we expect it.
Yeah.
And no, I don't know what that is.
I don't either. I think it's a really good point in terms of his first, what would that be, 5 years as the head coach of the Packers? It's a fair point, but by you. I guess I don't know what to expect for a weekend like this, right? We haven't often seen, other than that Chiefs game where Love made his first start, a backup quarterback, right? Yeah. Like the Packers have had really good luck at quarterback during Matt LaFleur's tenure.
I'm thinking of like injuries though to some of the skill players. And you're like, now how are they going to be able to pull this off? And then he puts together like a picture perfect game plan and you would never know that they were missing like two of their three best offensive weapons.
Yeah. And I guess that's the hope you have this week, just to get back to 500. And then Tennessee, I think there's going to be enough rage and fury within the eyes of Malik Willis for a Malik Willis revenge tour. So get back to 1-1.
Revenge game?
Oh, it's 100% a revenge game. Tell me I'm wrong. That's the team that gave up on him.
Yeah, you just kind of usually think like revenge game. Here's a star that went somewhere else. Not a guy who they gave away for a couple footballs.
I understand that, but he's a starting quarterback. Like, I understand he's not a superstar. But it's a team. Joshy, that's like you really early in your radio career getting fired.
It would never happen.
No, it wouldn't. You're an angel. And to come to another radio station and be like, yeah, this is my revenge tour. Same market.
Are we under the impression that there's going to be like an air attack? Because I think for the Packers to win, he has to rush for like 120 plus.
Yeah, so he needs to do what? Like 200 yards of total offense between through the air and on the ground, I would guess?
I mean, I would say that's probably pretty rare that teams win without a big, big help from the defense.
Yeah, and the defense is certainly going to need to step up.
They might need to score.
You're not going to get 34 points or 37 points out of out of a Malik Willis-led offense. You're just not going to, right? The Packers scored 29 against the Eagles on Friday with the Jordan Love-led offense. And it still felt like it wasn't a lot because the defense was just, you know, incapable of stopping Saquon Barkley, who's one of, if not the best running back in the National Football League this year. I would guess, Joshy, he needs to do at least 200 yards of offense by himself, right? That's not counting Josh Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jacobs is going to play an important role. But that's why you signed a guy like that, right? You signed him to be a workhorse. You signed him to carry the ball 19, 20 times, especially in situations like this. He could carry the ball 25 times this upcoming weekend.
I feel better about Josh Jacobs carrying this load than Aaron Jones would in this spot, where you're going to need the grinder, the guy who can just... Aaron Jones isn't taking 25 carries and staying healthy. This is the Josh Jacobs spot, big time. This is why you brought him.
Yeah, 100%. That's why you pay a running back, right? And they didn't want to with Aaron Jones, who's a couple years older. He had a nice debut, by the way, for the Minnesota Vikings over the weekend. But yeah, you bring in a Josh Jacobs to be your freaking workhorse. And while he maybe didn't look the part in week one, at least the entirety of week one, we know he's still got a lot of tread on those tires, and he's still very, very, very capable of being a lead back. So while we say this is the Malik Willis optimism hour, because it is the Malik Willis optimism hour, you have to remember, you know, all the key cogs, as I used the term earlier. Matt LaFleur, who is featured on the screen right now, is a big one. Tom Clements, the quarterback coach, is a big one. The wide receivers and the tight ends are a big one. Josh Jacobs is a hugely important piece to this offense while Jordan Love is out. I have a hard time thinking of a bigger player. I don't like how I phrase that. Let's try that again. I can't think of a more important player for the Malik Willis era of Green Bay Packers football than the running back Josh Jacobs. He 110% to me is the most important player, not named Malik Willis, throughout this drought or the stretch where you'll be without Jordan Love. Curious what you think, though, on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams. Am I missing anybody? Is there a more important player in your mind for Malik Willis to have success over the course of the next few weeks? Another player you could bring up is that kicker. Narv Dog, talked about it a little bit on Monday. I got into the office Monday. Josh, he goes, still think you got a kicker? I think he's going to be much better than Carlson, Durst. He's going to be significantly better this year than Anders was a year ago. Josh, I'll give you this. I think Braden Arvidsson is the end-of-year kicker for the Packers. I think he finishes the season as the kicker. I think the miss on Friday is going to be a rare miss for him this season. I still believe in him. No wavering. And you'd think after I saw the movie last year that was the Packers season at that position, I wouldn't have this much faith in a rookie kicker for the second straight year. But I never really had faith in Anders. I do have faith in Narvison, Narv Dog.
This is the blind faith with Mr. Irrelevant Hour.
Do I have my green and gold colored glasses on?
Yeah. It's bad today. Like, it's really bad today. Normally, it's tolerable, but, like, I'm kind of getting sick of it.
Like, me, who gets accused of being a toad on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, is starting to feel ill.
Ribbit. Yeah, ribbiting away over here.
I don't think you made a big bet there because Anders missed so many kicks and was still the kicker at the end of the year.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to rock with that this year. I don't think that's going to be their style. You do? No matter what he does?
Oh, I mean, we've seen kickers. Mason Crosby famously had like a near.
True.
And granted, Mason Crosby at that point had a long history of success.
Right.
So it didn't make sense. But they stick with their guy at that position just because I think if you enter into that game, you're kind of just spinning a wheel and hoping for the best.
Yeah, it's certainly not a battle. Like the question on the screen, is the kicker battle still up? No, it's not a battle. It's going to be Narvison's job. I would imagine the entire season, unless things go really south. But he's got a bigger leg than Anders. He's more accurate than Anders. And yeah, a week one miss is certainly not a great look for a rookie kicker for the second straight year. But I can live with it. I don't think it would have made or broke the game. Obviously, it would have been 2 instead of 5 there down the stretch. But I'm an Arvidsson believer. I'm a Narv Dog. And that's how it's going to be. I had, and I'm really curious to have this conversation with Joshy, and Hunter, feel free to chime in on this as well, on Monday night, as I watched Aaron Rodgers and the Jets lose to the 49ers. But I had closure a year delayed. Because a year ago, today actually, I think it was September 11th of last year, was Monday night, Rodgers runs out for the Jets, holding the American flag, and plays four plays and it's over. I didn't really get to see Aaron Rodgers play football. On Monday, I actually got to watch an entire Aaron Rodgers game for the first time since the Packers lost to the Lions in Week 18 2 years ago. And I'm looking at the TV, I go, man, this is weird. I knew he was a Jet, and I understand he's a Jet, and I watched Hard Knocks, and I've seen all his comments on McAfee. I understand he's the Jets quarterback. But it was different for me seeing it. And Josh, I know you and I have talked about it in this phrase before, right? Like, outside of our family, Aaron Rodgers is the longest relationship we had. As he was in Green Bay from 05 through 22. So to see a guy you spent 17 years, and really I think it was 14 or 15 years cheering for as the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, play elsewhere, it's really strange. And to be real honest with you, as much as I hate hearing him speak, and as much as I don't need to hear him talk, and I don't need to really interact with any of the off-the-field thing, field things he participates in, he looks old, but it was still fun to watch him play football on Monday. And there were a couple moments, including a touchdown pass to Alan Lazard, where you go, oh, yeah, that's the guy I recognize. I recognize that guy. But he looks old, which is unfortunate, but he's 40.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was having emotions on Monday watching Aaron Rodgers, which I didn't anticipate because I've been so sick of hearing him talk for the last 2 years. That now finally we have real football to watch. It's like, oh yeah, man, this is different. This is strange.
I had an overwhelming sense of relief
that the Packers made the right choice.
And it has nothing to do with the off the field stuff. It's 100% on the field. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a good arm pretty much forever. If you've seen the pass chart, he only threw the ball to his left, and that's because he's doing that fall away where he doesn't have to. Yeah. Like that Achilles, he's either too afraid of it or it's not strong enough to hold him and he's protecting it. There was that rollout he had to the left where he tried to almost like jump in the air, contort his body and throw the ball, and he spiked it like 5 yards ahead of Garrett Wilson. I don't think they're like a real contender.
I don't either. And I never really did. I thought Rodgers would look better than that, like more mobile and more Aaron Rodgers-y than he did on Monday.
Once they start moving him off his spot, that's going to be a tough
one. Yeah, it's not ideal for him.
And
which
I understood what the Niners doing. They can get home with four, and they eventually started to. But if they start bringing pressure and flushing him to that side he doesn't want to throw to, I think that could get pretty ugly.
Yeah, and I think that you're right, because you and I picked up on that sitting on the couch, where I think defensive coordinators are obviously going to pick up on that and scheme that. I'm curious, though, you know, what is the ceiling for the Jets? Because I feel like their division is so good. When you look at Buffalo, you look at Miami, New England got a win, although I think they're probably one of the worst teams in the league. I don't think they're a playoff team. Are they a 7-win team, maybe? But
I think they might sneak in because that schedule is easy.
Yeah.
They're playing a last place schedule there. And some of the teams they're facing...
Third place, sorry.
A lot of the teams they're facing are teams... Aaron Rodgers can still do enough to beat some of those bottom dwellers. Like, you're not asking him to do a lot.
And the other part, too, Josh, is because I said he looked old, like he did.
Yeah.
He looked like a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, which is unfortunate because, you know, like I said, it's he's really fun to watch play football.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bad quarterbacks, too. So.
And there is. that's true, too. I wonder if it's a rust thing. Like, he hasn't played legitimate football in almost, you know, 2 years. So I wonder if he's able to knock off the rust and he starts looking like the Aaron Rodgers of old by week 3, 4, 5. Or is this just Aaron Rodgers at age 40? Is this just kind of what you've grown to expect? He can still make some great plays, but he's just not as elite as maybe he once was. I'm curious to see how that plays out. Hunter, go ahead.
I think that this is an Achilles thing and his age. Given how Kirk Cousins looked, and like
it makes sense.
I've never said I don't want to come off as though I think Kirk Cousins is in the same league as Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, but like he struggled too, and he couldn't put the power on the ball that he normally could. And he looked really bad and looked really old as well, coming off of an Achilles injury too. I think we got fooled into thinking modern medicine is way further along when it comes to Achilles than it actually is for a football player. And we've just saw it with these two quarterbacks. And I think they're going to be really difficult for them to play well early in the year, and it's not going to be until late in the season if they don't get hurt because they're not doing things the right way, because they're trying to protect their Achilles, that they then are able to actually look like normal quarterbacks again. You okay, Josh?
Yeah. Strofe was talking to me in my ear. Oh. I'm affording Aaron Rodgers the ability to improve.
Uh-huh.
I think you might just start to trust that Achilles more than he currently does. But all throughout camp, every video they showed of him, like they showed him doing like the workout in the beginning, like getting loose, and they were running like 10-yard sprints, and he was stopping on the non-repaired. Like he was turning his body almost like a hockey stop to avoid that
hockey stop.
That Achilles. Like he was pivoting his hips around so he didn't have to stop on it, which I found extremely interesting. To me, it was very apparent. Like, he might trust it more, but I also don't think, like, even if he trusts it more and it improves and it strengthens as he plays, there's still limitations. We've left out age in terms of, like, healing. Like, at J.K. Dobbins, you can tell the story of healing from Achilles surgery.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Because he's, what, 26, 25, 26
years old? Yeah, somewhere in there.
It's a lot different when
you're 40. Great weekend for him.
Yeah, it's a lot different when you're 40. And, I mean, that's always been the case. And I feel like everyone told the story of never doubt Aaron Rodgers. And it's like, I'm not really even doubting Aaron Rodgers. I'm doubting his body, the literal physics and the anatomy and what we know about human bodies.
Wait, hold on. We just got to revisit what you just said.
Yeah.
Did you say you're not doubting Aaron Rodgers, but you're doubting his body? If you're doubting Aaron Rodgers' body, doesn't that mean you're doubting Aaron Rodgers?
No, because I think he's still as skilled. I think he's still as smart about football. I think he's still the absolute, like, one of the best when it comes to minds of football.
Mm-hmm.
But same thing happened with, like, a Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning didn't lose the ability to, like, throw the ball. His body broke down, and that's what happens. Tom Brady's the only one we've ever seen really not break down.
Peyton Manning did kind of break down.
Yeah.
He kind of had a noodle surgery. Arm. Yeah,
he
his
did, yeah.
neck
yeah.
injury hurt him.
A little bit of noodle
right,
arm.
But he, like, he didn't lose the abilities. It's all physical and Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers for a long time. He's going to be 60 years old. He's probably going to be able to throw a beautiful out route standing stationary.
It's fair. We will see. Jets season continues Sunday. I'm probably going to watch quite a bit. I have a hard time not watching.
I'm going to root against them every single chance I get.
Against them or for him?
Against them.
Because
let's be honest here. The Jets, they got a little full of themselves. The Jets fans, they're talking like dream teams, all that stuff, and they go out and, I mean, they don't even look competitive against the Niners. They had one drive, and then it was like, yeah, well, there they are.
It's fair. It's fair. All right, got to tell you about Underdog. I've got my Thursday night picks in on Underdog, the Underdog app. The NFL season finally here. My partner at Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more exciting. I had a big weekend on Underdog. I'll tell you what. I'll get to my two pick. Higher, lower entry here in just a second. But Underdog, NFL picks, mix and match across your other favorite sports. They have everything on there available in over 30 states and Canada, which includes Wisconsin, California, Florida, Texas, on the Underdog app. All you do is you grab a player, you grab a projection, you click higher or you click lower. You add those up into multiple picks. You have an entry that pays you up to 1,000 times your money. Sign up right now on the Underdog app or on underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up. That's GOODKARMA. Good Karma, all one word, at sign up to get $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick on Underdog. Tomorrow, I'm just running a little two-legger. Two picks in my entry, Josh. You're going to like this. I've realized you can win big on just a two-pick entry. I've got Tyreek Hill scoring a touchdown. I've got James Cook scoring a touchdown, rusher receiving for both of them. $20 wins 83.
There's some I like that, especially when they start throwing out those promos that they got in there.
Oh yeah,
you should be just putting that with one other pick and trying to get home and not trying to get four. As enticing as it is, I fall victim to the same exact thing. It's a lot easier to get two right than four right, and in a compounding nature. I have two ideas here.
Okay, go on. I like ideas.
I don't know if they're going to keep doing it, but there is the vulture protection for those running backs picks in there. We should be putting together all running back vulture free, because if they do get vultured, you still you don't lose money from it. We should be putting one of those picks together every single week. And then we should also do a show streak. They have that streak feature where if you basically nail all of them together, you can enter for a low. And then we just keep doing it every single week until we just try and build one.
I like it. Let's implement that on Friday.
Yeah,
I'm a fan.
How fun would it be if we all together, we won $1,000 by just nailing a streak?
I think that'd be pretty fun. Lunch on Strophy then, it sounds like. No doubt about that.
Yeah,
there we go. Good Karma. It's sign up on Underdog or UnderdogFantasy.com. Good Karma, GOODKARMA. Get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. And I will give you my picks twice a week. I'm gonna try to start doing a little two selection entry on Thursdays, but I will have that for Wednesday's show, which I just told you. It's Tyreek and James Cook, each to score a touchdown rushing or receiving. $20 pays the 83 on the Underdog app. And then Friday, I'm going to give you my weekend slate. Those are where I'm going to take my home run swings, which I did last week. I typically go like four selections or five selections. Just throw out, $5 on it, and then you can win hundreds on that. So we'll be doing that every week. Play along with me on the Underdog Fantasy app. Promo code GOODKARMA. All right. I wanted to try something new this year, this NFL season. We did this a couple times last year. And by the way, we're what, 45 minutes into the show? I haven't even mentioned this yet. Today is the one-year anniversary of Mr. Irrelevant. Our first show was September 11th of last year after the Packers beat the Bears in week 1 of the NFL season. So happy anniversary, Hunter. You've been along for pretty much every episode. Joshy officially joined us about 4.5 months ago. So happy anniversary to everybody. 1 year anniversary of Mr. Irrelevant presented by Door County Distillery and Underdog. Crazy. That means we've done 160 episodes of this already, which is nuts to comprehend. 160 hours of me blabbering. Appreciate you all for coming along for the ride and hanging out with us here, a year later, stronger and ready for another Green Bay season. But we did this a couple times last year. And I want to try to do it every single week this NFL season on Wednesdays. I'm going to give you one word for every NFL team after week 1 and after every week. Just one word to describe how I am feeling about the NFL teams. So it is time to play one word for every NFL team after week 1. Hunter, go ahead.
We're going to start in the AFC West, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Same.
Denver Broncos.
Quarterback?
Los Angeles Chargers.
Khakis.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Favorites.
On to the NFC East. Washington Commanders.
Heisman.
New York Giants.
Defeated.
Eagles.
Saquon.
Cowboys.
Hyphenated word, 60 million.
AFC South. Indianapolis Colts.
Upcoming.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Meh.
Tennessee Titans.
Yikes.
Houston Texans.
Additions.
NFC South. Carolina Panthers.
Basement.
Atlanta Falcons.
Woof.
New Orleans Saints.
Three words here. Does it count?
Okay. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Baker Mania.
AFC North, Baltimore Ravens.
Fast.
Cincinnati Bengals.
How?
Cleveland Browns.
Woof.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Kicker.
And the NFC West, LA Rams.
Alive.
Arizona Cardinals.
Intriguing.
San Francisco 49ers.
Offense.
Seattle Seahawks.
Defense.
AFC East. Buffalo Bills.
Points.
New England Patriots.
Surprising.
Miami Dolphins.
Speed.
New York Jets.
Old.
And finally, the NFC North, Detroit Lions.
Contenders.
Minnesota Vikings.
Darnold.
Chicago Bears.
Again?
And finally, the Green Bay Packers.
MCL.
You broke your rules 15 times.
No, I didn't. I only broke them once. With New Orleans, I said, does it count because they beat the freaking Carolina Panthers 47-10? Does that count?
You hyphenated 60 million.
That's one word. Hyphenated word is one word.
60 is a word. Million is a word. That's two words.
All right, fine.
You also, MCL is an acronym.
That is true, but it is technically one word. That is an acronym.
And you use a lot of proper nouns, which feels like cheating.
Yeah. This one is an asterisk. We'll try and do better next week.
Here are the ones I was most proud of. And me and Hunter did not talk about the order we were going to do this. I didn't realize I did this until they were the two left in the NFC West. We had San Francisco and Seattle left, and I wrote offense and defense. Didn't even do that on purpose. Pittsburgh, I wrote kicker because Chris Boswell hit 6 field goals. They won 18-10 in Justin Fields' debut for the Pittsburgh Steelers, replacing the injured Russell Wilson. They only scored on field goals. So kicker was my word. I was proud of that one. Khakis for the Chargers because Jim Harbaugh, of course. Yeah, so I was a fan of a lot of these. I thought I did well.
I can see you're very excited about what you just did there. I thought it was great entertainment, quick whip around. I think you can do better.
All right. Well, it's week one.
We have room to improve.
This is my preseason for 32 words, which was actually 35 or 36 words to describe the 32 NFL teams after week one.
How often are you planning to do this?
Every Wednesday.
Whoa.
Every week.
You're gonna have that many words?
32 a week, yeah.
Times 18. Are you going to have new words?
I'm going to try to do new words, yeah. I'm really, if anybody wants to purchase me a thesaurus, that would be appreciated. It may be necessary come week 12 and 13.
I was going to say, I trust Strofe to be able to do this for the NFL. If it was the NBA, there's no shot he could do this. But the NFL, you can do it.
Hey, I'm an NBA guy. Let's not forget that. Stop I'm an NBA it. Guy. Hunter, I have been talking to somebody who's a big NBA fan, friend of the show, and he said, hey, dude, you've got to do like they used to do with Shaq and Chuck. Which team is this guy on, or which team is this guy coaching for? We got to do it come NBA season.
Yes.
Because I think I can go about 50% in the NBA. For like free agent acquisitions and where the coaches ended up. So come NBA season, we will roll that out, stealing that one from around the NBA.
I think I should play that too because I probably go 20%.
We could.
I think it would be a race to the bottom.
We could rope you in. All right, time now to wrap up the show. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It is time now for what we learned on Mr. Irrelevant. Hunter, we start with you.
I learned that I need to watch what I'm doing while I'm driving.
Yeah, you do. Yep, I agree.
This morning I decided, so I live on the west side of Madison, decided I didn't want to drive on the Beltline or the freeway going around. So I'm like, you know what, I'll take University Ave, I'll go through the campus, it's going to be a lot of students, but whatever. I'm going through and somebody cut me off, like right in the heart of campus. And it was just as we were getting to a light, and I have all of my windows down.
Was it Luke Fickell again?
No, it wasn't Luke Fickell this time. It was someone who definitely did not look like Luke Fickell.
Okay, well, it was Luke Fickell last time this happened, so that's why I was asking. Yeah. Did you get in a car accident?
No.
Is that why you're saying you have to pay attention?
No, I have to pay attention to what I'm saying because I just dropped a, what the F are we doing with all of my windows down? Everyone on the sidewalks turned and just stared at me while I'm at a red light then. And I'm just like, oh, God, what did I do to myself?
Well, that's when you yell, hey, take a picture. It'll last longer.
Yeah, but then I didn't want to be the crazy guy yelling at college students like that. Just
hey, buddy,
weird.
Breaking news, it's too late. You were already that guy.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want to double down on it. But, yeah, I got to watch my mouth while I'm driving.
Should I go now?
Go ahead, Joshy.
Foo Fighters frontman.
Dave Grohl. Rock and roll Dave Grohl.
Not a great husband.
He released a statement yesterday. I've recently become the father of a new baby daughter born outside of my marriage.
Whoa!
I've to be a loving and supportive parent to her. I love my wife and my children and am doing everything I can to regain the trust and earn their forgiveness. We're grateful for your consideration towards all the children involved as we move forward together. We didn't need that statement.
Yeah, kind of hard to say that you love your wife after you just announced that you cheated on her and have another kid coming.
Admittedly, I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan. Yeah. I didn't see this. I guess I was tied up with, I don't know, there was a little debate last night. I don't know if you guys are familiar. Yes. I was probably a little tied up with that. What?
He decided to take it upon himself, get ahead of the news, and tell everybody. He at 55, I believe.
Yeah, he's got to be in his 50s.
Had a new child with somebody that was not his wife.
Okay. How new is the child?
Seems to be brand new.
All right.
The other thing, a little better here, especially for those of us.
Double whammy?
For those of us listening here in Milwaukee, discovered a website, which is, I can't credit myself for that. It was James Groh, I believe. He works in the local news here. CustardMKE.com is a website where you can find 19 flavors of the day from Milwaukee area custard places.
You stole this from Riley Yauch. He had this on Weldy and Tausch.
Incorrect. I've had this. I brought it up on on other shows prior to that. Thank you for listening.
No free advertisements, but one place has a blue raspberry custard with vanilla custard and red raspberry swirl. That sounds lovely.
Okay, can we talk about this with the whole colored raspberry thing? There's no such thing as a blue raspberry. They just changed it so it doesn't look like cherries and kids will eat it. Like, what are we doing? Can we stop? Like, it's just raspberry.
Well, yeah, but there's a little bit of sour punch to a blue raspberry.
Is there?
It's sour. Yeah, that's the goal of a blue raspberry.
I didn't know we needed to come down on blue's raspberries.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, it's just a dumb marketing ploy, and I'm tired of it.
Okay. Hey, man. Stand your ground, bro.
Yeah.
Stand on business. Pick your battles, and this is a good one, in my opinion.
Of all the hills you could die on, that's good.
Hey, man, like, I'm not better hill than the Graham Mertz's good hill.
Yeah, but you're still dying on that one, too. I will say, as we reflect, I really didn't have a what we learned today. I want to reflect on the first year of Mr. Irrelevant in this location. And I will say, Hunter perfectly transitioning this. Hunter has learned a lot of life lessons on this show last year.
I've grown a lot.
Yeah, you have. I'll give you that. I will say, though, the one thing I hope you never listen to me on is relationship advice, which I have given more relationship advice to you on this program than I've ever given, like, my best friends in real life.
Yeah.
You and your wife, lovely people. Your wife is a sweetheart. We love her. The second ever edition of the show, you pissed her off.
Was it the second?
It was second or third. Like, it was the first week.
Yeah, that was bad.
And you were complaining at a wedding you were attending, and then you go, wait a minute, I probably shouldn't bring that here. So for you to go from, hey, this wedding is a disaster, I'm nervous, to, I don't believe in blue raspberries, that is growth, brother.
Thank you.
That's a big step for you. Joshy, I don't know if you've ever been nicknamed like a tiny rodent known as a groundhog.
No, never.
But you do have a nickname of a cat. You're known as Big Cat to your friends.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what it is with you and mammals, but they fit you well. What have you learned? You haven't been a part of our show consistently the entire year, but is there any period of growth you would like to acknowledge for yourself as you've evolved here on Mr. Irrelevant?
No. Can't say I've done any growing here. I just kind of come in and try to throw a wrench into things, and I think I've been good at that.
Yeah, you have been. I'll give you that. I will say also, I would say maybe the opposite of growth.
Degrowth?
Yeah, you might have regressed since joining this program because, you know, we run what's called a promo, right? So it's 30-second commercial, essentially, promoting the show on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5, 100.5. The opening line to our commercial is, there's no better place to feel dumb than Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've gotten dumber by working with somebody smart like Josh. Because me and Hunter are self-admittedly idiots, right? Yep. I think him and I would not hesitate to tell you we're dumb people.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh is a smart individual. He's actually intelligent. And since he's joined the show, I've said more stupid crap than I have in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the groundhog name exists, because you say something and I have no reaction other than to spring up back here like, what did he just say?
Oh, man. Amazing. Well, I will say, I do feel immense gratitude. This is really, really fun to do three times a week with the two of you. Appreciate all you do for the show. Appreciate everybody hanging out. I mean, this is something I look forward to every day. So to get on here, to talk football, to talk about nonsense, to do words that aren't actually, you know, are more like phrases about all 32 NFL teams. It's dumb we get to do this, and to do this for the last year has been a blast, and we're gonna keep that puppy rolling. Go ahead, Josh.
I don't want to speak for Hunter here, but I do want to say thank you for allowing us this platform to sometimes make fools of ourselves, embarrass ourselves, and embarrass you at times.
Wow, Joshy, sentimental Joshy.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
This has been super fun. I'm looking forward to year two. I do hope that we can be a little less dumb at times.
We can make that like a we can make that like a New Year's resolution of sorts.
Yeah.
Be less stupid.
Yes, be less stupid. I like it. I think that's our goal for the next year.
Should we figure out a feature here where I just teach you guys something? Something fun from history?
No, because then that gets condescending.
Yeah.
You know? I don't need you to be condescending.
And
more than you already are.
I don't want to feel bad if I actually know it and he doesn't. And then he's the only one who's like, I never knew this. We're like, yeah, I learned that in like middle school. You idiot.
Appreciate you all hanging out with us today. We're back with you Friday, beginning at 12:30, previewing Badgers, Alabama, coming up Saturday in Madison. We'll talk about that coming up on Friday. Also got to take a look at Malik Willis's The Optimism Hour, which wasn't really that optimistic, is over now. We will preview Malik Willis's first start as a Green Bay Packer, taking on the Colts on Sunday. We'll preview that coming up Friday at 12:30 as well. Joshy's back with me Friday. Hunter's back with me Friday. I'm back with you Friday right here on Mr. Relevant, which is presented by Door County Distillery and Underdog. Use promo code GOODKARMA on the Underdog app or UnderdogFantasy.com. Looking forward to hanging out with you Friday ahead of a big football weekend. We'll talk to you then. It's Mr. Relevant, Alex Strofe. Peace.